Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 306, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise, praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore. From this time forth forevermore. 306, all the stanzas.
the portion of God's Word that we hope to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, thereof the second chapter, the first 20 verses. Luke 2, the verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, of the heavens and of the earth, what a day is this, that we may commemorate together with our children, where we may gather round about thy holy word of truth, and that great event which thou hast brought to pass, according to all thy holy word, and all that thou hast promised unto thy church from the beginning of the creation. O Lord, it is a day which is made known amongst the entire world, because it is not only to the nation of the Jews, but it is also unto the Gentiles that that message had to go out. And to this day, then that word is brought, and it may go out unto all the peoples of the earth. O that thou wouldst bring in thy kingdom, that thou wouldst increase thy church, that thou wouldst make of it a great, great nation, and a people that is without number, that shall magnify and glorify thee by beginnings here upon this world, and then to a great and never-ending eternity. It is a day wherein that thou didst remember the poor, for thou knewest where that they were, and thou didst appear unto them to be born in the heart of a poor Mary, to reveal thyself unto the poor shepherds. And unto all such thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. O Lord, show it also this day, that thou may remember the afflicted and the poor also in the midst of this whole world, that that word may also go out to those who do not know the way to be saved, that thou wouldst declare it in the ears of those who have never heard it, but also unto those who have never known it within their hearts, though that they have heard it all their life long, and that thou wouldst open it unto them, and that thou wouldst reveal thyself, O Lord, that they may say and speak of thy wonders, to say, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who is this that cometh from Edom, with dyed garments from Bozrah, inglorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? O, that thou may open unto thy people the greatness of thy strength, the gloriousness of thine apparel, that they may be given to see thy beauty, that thou wouldst show unto them that thou art come to seek and to save that which is lost, that those that are sitting upon the ash heap, that the prodigals who are busy eating the swine's husk, oh, that they may be given to arise and say, I will return unto my Father. O Lord, that thou may reveal thyself in that way, wherein that they are able again to be received into favor. Oh, that they may experience in this blessed day that blessed joy that shall never be forgotten, world without end. Oh, that thou may bring thy people back to that which they have seen in that day, wherein they have looked upon thee in the 10th hour, wherein they have seen, as it was declared, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, that thou may give a holy jealousy in the hearts of many that are standing on the outside, those that do have no desire, those that see nothing but fairness in the world. Oh, that they may be given eyes to behold in this day the blessedness of the people of the Lord, that they may also say that they desire to see the good of thy chosen, to rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. Oh, that thou wouldst give to our children and our young people while they are still in the days of their youth, that they may also behold a little of the blessedness of that true church, that they may have a desire to be joined unto that people, and that thy children, oh, that they may be given also to live more out of that blessed fountain, and that it may truly be to the glory and to the honor of thy holy name, because there is nothing that they are able to bring forth from their own side, which shall be to thy honor. O Lord, it is all out of thee, It is all unto Thee. It is all from Thee. It'll all end in Thee. Oh, do it then for Thy great name's sake. Bless us all together and our denomination. And wilt Thou give once again, as it was in the days and the years that are gone by, those that are able to speak of those matters, that they may be able to say that which has taken place in their life, that they may be able to speak of the birth of that blessed Son of God in their heart, that it also may go out unto the rising generation, that something blessed that must take place in our life. O Lord, that Thou may give also the further leadings unto Thy own children, for those that have seen a little bit of Thee, they shall desire to see more of Thee, because indeed there is comfort, indeed there is peace, indeed there is rest. Oh, that they may long more and more to see Thee and to eat and to drink of that blessed fountain. Wilt Thou look upon us then and all those who bring Thy word, increase their number, and give also that we may receive more and more from Thee, that we may receive instruction, that we may instruct others, that Thou may give, that in Thy church more would be raised up, that may not be ignorant of these most essential matters, that may speak of them unto the rising generation, and that in the world in which we live, the truth of Thy holy word may not be known merely in superficial ways, but that Thou wouldst teach us in the experience of it. Wilt Thou remember us, then be with all those that are not able to gather with us, for there are many that are sick. Wilt Thou raise them up again, and wilt Thou watch over and protect each one, the children also, when there is no school in these weeks? And wilt Thou watch over and protect them? And wilt Thou be with us in this hour? And wilt Thou help us, O Lord? For Thou hast said unto Thy disciples, give ye them to eat. And they had naught but a few little loaves and fishes. O Lord, Thou didst pray, Thou didst ask for a blessing, and Thou didst multiply those loaves. Oh, that Thou wouldst so also intercede for us in this hour, that the loaves may yet be multiplied, that young and old may be satisfied, and that there may be much gathered over. O Lord, care for us. Show us that Thou knowest of us, where that we are as a congregation, as a people, and that Thou art also working amongst us. Do it for Thy name's sake, in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 262 all the stanzas. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. And what follows, there is one collection today for our school, Psalter 262, all the stanzas. beloved congregation, Christmas, that is a time of great rejoicing, and it also ought to be so. We do live in a time where the very last elements of Christianity, they are being more and more required to be removed from the public eye. Do we agree with the way that the world commemorates Christmas? We do not. Certainly not. Why, boys and girls? Because there is a rejoicing which is so evidently so superficial. It is so empty. It is so vain. But we are living in a time where the evidences are becoming more and more frightening concerning the time in which we are living, because those elements that still have some semblance of Christianity, they are being required more and more to be removed. For what reason? Not because of their emptiness, not because of their vanity, then we might rejoice in their removal. But they are being removed more and more because of enmity, because man will not even be able anymore to look upon such elements. He is not able anymore even to hear of anything that has to do with the blessed Son of God. Indeed, what greater cause of rejoicing is there than that the Son of God should have been born into this world? That is just a small picture, actually. Just a small picture of the rejoicing that is taking place in the heart of God's people. The rejoicing that is taking place when the Lord Jesus, boys and girls, is born within the heart of a man, of a child. Do we know something of that birth? Do we know something of that rejoicing that is necessary in our life? We wish to consider something of this with you, with the Lord's help, in this afternoon hour, out of the portion that was read to you, Luke 2, and thereof the 14th verse, Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So far the words of our text. The song of the angelic host at the birth of Jesus. Three simple thoughts. First, glory to God. Second, on earth peace. Third, goodwill toward men. The song of the angelic host at the birth of Jesus. First, glory to God. Second, on earth peace. And third, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. Who says that? Do you say that? Did you ever say that? We have said it often with our mouth, even as children, boys and girls. You have sung it often. Glory to God. Our question this afternoon is not, have you said it with your mouth, but have you now ever said this with your heart? Glory to God. How was it now in this day? How was it in this week? The year is almost gone. How was it in this year? How many times in this year, how many times in your life, was it ever in your life that you have said from the bottom of your heart, glory to God? We used to do this. When we were created, then our whole life, that was about one thing, that was glory to God. That was the purpose of our creation. That was the goal, that was the aim, that was the end of our creation. And now, how is that, children? How is that in your heart? Is it not just the opposite? Is it not glory to me? And you know what the sad thing is? It is not only when we are so young, but it is also when we become older, that it is the same. Then that glory that has to come to me, that is pervading each and every one of our duties, even our most holy duties, that even comes in the preaching. Not glory to God, but glory unto myself. How corrupt, how sinful that we have become. How we have turned everything so upside down. And now we hear these angels, and they are singing, glory to God in the highest. It is a host of angels. It is a multitude, we read, of the heavenly hosts. They have come from heaven, and they have come down to the earth, To sing, that is something. Since all that misery has come upon us because of sin, in the midst of this world that is so full of crying, that is so full of tears, that is full of death, that is full of sickness, that is full of sorrow. And then we hear the angels. They are coming from heaven. They are coming to sing upon the earth. Who can imagine what that song is in heaven? In heaven, before the throne of God, we read in God's word of the song of Moses and the Lamb. That is a song that actually even the angels, they cannot actually learn that song. We read in the Bible that no man can learn that song except the 144,000 that are redeemed from the earth. Thus, even the angels, they are those, we read, they are things that the angels desire to look into. But they cannot see into it. And why not? Because they do not know the depth from which that redeemed people, they have been delivered. They do not know of that miry clay. They do not know of that pit out of which that people, they will learn to sing. Thus that song of the redeemed that is not a superficial song, that is a song that is coming up out of the depths. Congregation, yet we read that the angels, they did glorify God. Indeed they do. How do they glorify God? They glorify Him as the friends of God. That is the way that man began, to glorify God as the friend of God. And they glorify God also as the friends of the church of God. But they can never come closer to God than to be a friend. But the Lord has brought His church closer to Himself, taking upon Himself, as we heard, not the nature of an angel, but the nature of a man. The Word made flesh. And now that song that is from the friends of God, from the friends of the church, and that is exciting within that church, that song of the redeemed, thus it does not begin in heaven when that people learn to sing. But they learn to sing here already. The beginning of that song, the substance of that song, the essence of that song that is already taught to that people here below. Who is the object of that song? Well, we read, glory to God in the highest. The Lord, He is doing everything to His own glory. And there is especially the salvation of His church that will be to His own glory. But the time that these angels are singing is so very remarkable. And why? Well, when are they singing? The angels are singing when the Son of God has left His glory. When the Son of God has departed from that place where He was at the right hand of His Father, where He was in the house of His Father, where He enjoyed the continual presence of His Father and of all the holy angels. The Son of God, just in that time that He has descended, condescended to this sin-cursed earth, just in that time where He has hid the glory of His divine nature, so that it could not be seen by men except by little spurts, as it were, just in that time, that He placed Himself under the law, just in that time that He came in the state of His humiliation, just in that time that He was seen as guilty by His Father, the sin of that church laid upon Him just in that time when He began to suffer, boys and girls, and when He had to flee, when He had to endure pain, when He began to cry, just in this time, the angels, they come from heaven, and just in that time, they begin to sing, glory, glory to God in the highest, at the condescension of the Son of God. Thus they magnify the glory of God. For what? For the love of God. For the love of God in sending His Son into this world.
Oh, there shall come no higher glory unto God than that glory which He is going to receive through the willingness of His Son to come unto this sin-cursed earth. There is going to come no higher glory unto God than that glory that He is going to receive from those who are delivered from sin, who are delivered from the enemy of Satan, who are delivered from this world. That is now the glory that the Father He has decreed for Himself and for His Son, for His Spirit, even from that never begun eternity. Salvation of the church that is so full of paradoxes. Why? Because they are mysteries that the Lord, He says, He is going to hide. Hide them from the wise and the prudent, and He is going to reveal them unto babes. And therefore, to whom are they singing? Well, they are singing, we read, unto the shepherds. They are not singing in the worldly theaters of this world, no, but they are descending to sing unto the shepherds. They are descending to sing unto those who have learned to mourn the loss of that glory of God in themselves, by themselves, in the world, by the world, that glory of God that is no more revered. Is that so also in your life? Because it is in regeneration that the love of God is born. Children, you ask for a new heart. But did the Lord ever give you a new heart? Say, how may I know if I have a new heart? Well, when the Lord gives you a new heart, then you begin to love the Lord. You begin to love to come into His house. Why? Because then you hear, then the congregation is singing. And then sometimes you come there and you sing with everyone and you say in your heart, oh, if only I could glorify Him. If only I could magnify Him with all my heart, with all my strength. Oh, then living in the heart of a man, when the Lord makes him alive, is a love for Him and a desire that they may glorify and magnify His name. Does that also live in your heart? That people, they don't know how to do that. Do you know what they think? They think that must be by my obedience. And that is true, because you glorify God by your obedience to His commandments. But you know what they find out? That all that obedience that I cannot do, that I cannot live like I ought to live, that I cannot obey like I ought to obey. And so that becomes so impossible in a person's life that he can glorify God, that he can live for that purpose that the Lord has made me, that the Lord has created me. I cannot magnify His name. Has it ever become impossible also in your life? Because our life, our heart, the Lord will make into a stable, a heart that is full of nothing but beasts, of wretchedness, of sin, and that is now the place
that we read that the Lord Jesus was born. And that is now the place where the Lord Jesus is always born. He is always born in that stable. He is always born in that filthy, filthy place. And that people, when their eyes go open to see that blessed mediator, oh, then they see something. Then their poor soul that rejoices. Why? Because then they see another obedience. Then they see what he has done. Then they see what he has accomplished. Then they see the debt that he has paid. Then they see the active obedience which he has completed. And when they see this, oh, they have not seen this ever before. They have heard this many times with their ears, but they have never seen it yet with that eye of faith. But when the Lord opens that eye of faith, in all their impossibility, then they rejoice. Then they rejoice. Why? Because then suddenly they see something that they have never seen before. Then suddenly they see that all that they now try to do, all that they try to accomplish, that in all the impossibility, it is done already. It is done already. Oh, suddenly they see that debt is already paid. Suddenly they see that obedience that is already perfectly kept, that law, there is nothing that has not been obeyed in perfection. And when they see this, then they rejoice. Then their soul rejoices. Why? Because now it becomes possible for me. When before it was impossible, now I see, aware that in him, that price that was accepted by the Father, that it is possible also for me to be delivered from all my sin. It is possible for me to be forgiven. It is possible for me to be washed, to be cleansed. Do you know what there is there? There is no glory to man. No glory to man. Then he sees that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And then all the glory that is going to that Son of God for all that he has accomplished. You understand that first real singing, glory to God in the highest, that is on that day of Christmas. That is in that day where that blessed mediator is revealed, is opened up unto that eye of faith, unto that people who have been cut off from everything from their own side. And then the soul that begins to sing, oh, not because they are justified, not because they are a child of God. No, but because they see a way. They see a possibility where before they saw no way. And then a love for that child, a love for that mediator that is born in that stable of their heart. O congregation, Do you know the birth of that blessed mediator? It will be known by the rejoicing of your heart. It will be known in the song that your heart will sing in that moment. Glory to God in the highest. It will be known by more, because we read more in this song. We read also, and on earth peace. Thus we have the second part of that song of that angelic host. On earth peace. What is that? That is the fruit of the condescension of the Son of God. What kind of peace is that? There are many that are looking in this world for world peace among the nations. That is a very worthy cause, because war, that is an awful, that is a terrible thing. Paul, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And yet, never will there be perfect peace among all the nations of this world. There never was, and there never will be, because the scriptures speak about coming toward the end of this world, and how that the wars and the rumors of wars, they are only going to increase. But you say, did not the angel sing at the birth of the Lord Jesus, peace on earth, peace? Indeed, they did. And wherever that Christianity is coming into the nations in this world, then the fruit of that Christianity, that is peace among the nations. Why? Because peace among men, that is flowing out of peace with God. And that is now the first peace that the angels are here singing about. They say, on earth, peace. Jeremiah complained. He complained about those false prophets. The false prophets, they said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That is of the devil. That is of the natural man. That is what we want to do. We want to cover over everything, and we want to say, peace, peace. But there is no peace as long as the curse of God is lying on us. Do we ever feel this? That there is no peace between God and our soul? The angels, they come with a message that was not from men. No, that was a message from heaven. They are not vain words. They are not empty words. No, they are words that are put in the mouth of this angelic host by the Lord himself. Nor are such words empty. When they are spoken by the Lord, by his Spirit, to a man that goes bowed down under the curse in this world, on earth peace. The angels, they rejoiced in it. They rejoiced in the humble birth of the Son of God, who came to make peace. He came to make peace between himself and his church. His church, who had sinned against him, and there could be no peace unless that sin, that offense that was first taken out of the way. And thus he came to take that offense out of the way. Thus he came to quench that fire of the wrath of God against his church. You say against his church? He has loved them with an everlasting love. That is true. That is true. And yet they lay under his wrath. In their birth, then they are not born as his children. They are born as his elect. And they need to be made children. They need to be adopted as children. Thus, laying under that curse, laying in the displeasure of the Lord, they need to be brought into the favor of the Lord. And now that cannot be from the side of the Lord unless that offense, which they have highly offended him, that is first taken out of the way. Thus, he came to reconcile the heart of his Father unto his own children, to bring them again into his communion, and to mediate peace, to make covenant, to fulfill covenant. He came to wash them. He comes to cleanse them, to take away all their filth, that he may make them fit again to come into the presence of his Father. Say, is it any wonder that those angels, that they have come to the earth to sing? On earth peace. By that humble birth of the Son of God. And now for a moment, how is that in the experience? Because we say that child, he is born. He is born in the heart of his children. And it is a people who have no peace, who experience that displeasure, who desire to be brought back into that blessed communion, who do not see a way and how it is possible to be brought back. But when the Lord is now opening their eyes, and when that Christ child, he is born in the stable of their heart, and when they are laying under that curse and that wrath and that displeasure, and when they see that way going open, oh, then their heart that is in that moment that is filled with peace. And their heart in that moment that is filled with rest. Oh, then they see that there is a way where it is possible that there would be nothing anymore between God and my soul. That it would be a plain path where all the anger of the Lord that can be stayed, that has been against that Christ child. Oh, then they feel something. Just for a moment even. A little of what that means. For that debt to be completely paid. So that there is nothing owed anymore unto that justice of God. And then congregation, a peace that is passing all the understanding that is in this world, a peace whereby a man can live in this world without fear, and a peace whereby a man can go out of this world without fear, all reconciled. Reconciled unto him. No, they do not have it yet. We do not say this. They do not have it yet. But that revelation that birth of that Son that is an entering in. Our fathers, they would say to their people, welcome in the strife. Why? Because it is now a strife for that people. How that I may have him. How that I may receive him. How that he may be mine, because I have seen him just for a moment, and he was to me for the first time in my life. Oh, white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, altogether lovely. Oh, a love for that Christ child, a love for the mediator as the way, the truth, and the life. He is born in the heart of that people. And then there is only one thing now for that people. Oh, that I may have him. That I may have him for my own. That I may know that he is mine and that I am his. Oh, do we know something? The smallest part was that Christ child. Was he now ever born in your heart? Say, how may we know? Oh, and then glory to God in the highest for just a moment. Then your heart has learned that song. For that moment, you will not forget it. You will not forget it. You will desire more to see him, that you may have more also of what you have felt in that moment, that blessed, blessed peace. But there is more, because that song did not stop there, but we're going to sing first. Psalter 230, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Oh, will thy anger never cease? Forever shall thy wrath increase? Revive and quicken us once more, and thy salvation's joy restore. 230, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Thank you. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What is that? Goodwill. That is the disposition to kindness. It is the disposition to favor. Goodwill toward men. When did that begin? What is the cause of this goodwill toward men? What do you think that is, young people? What is the cause of goodwill toward men? Say maybe that is the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus. Is that so? It is not so. The sending of Christ into the world and the coming of Christ into the world is not the cause, but it is the evidence. It is the evidence of goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men that has existed in God from eternity. Now, the angels, they are singing of this goodwill toward men. Why? Because now it is manifest that in God there is goodwill toward men. What does John say? He says, in this was manifested the love of God, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. That was the manifestation of His goodwill, not the basis of His goodwill. Thus, the salvation of the church that does not begin with Christ as the mediator of the church, but the salvation of the church that is beginning already with the Father, that is beginning already from eternity. Christ was elected by the Father to perform His goodwill. He was chosen by Him. He was appointed by Him. He was qualified Him that He may fulfill His goodwill. Thus, all the decrees of the Father, they are taking place by His goodwill, even the fall. That is unfathomable. That is a great mystery, but the fall of man and the redemption of man is all proceeding out of this goodwill toward men. Who can fathom that God and man should be united in one person? God, man, could not take place outside of that eternal good pleasure of the Father. Never had man and God been so joined together if it was not for the goodwill of God. Oh, how could man be raised to such a height, except that God had condescended to such a depth as to be united unto man in one person. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his riches and his ways. They are past finding out. Unsearchable. This goodwill toward men, this disposition to kindness that is experienced by the church, also in the revelation of that Son of God. That is the way that Bunyan described it. We say that often to you. What was the name, children? Do you know? Do you know the name of that man? We say that often at that wicked gate, right? We say that man, he gave him a pull. Who was that man that gave him a pull at the wicked gate? What was his name? His name was Goodwill. Why? Well, Bunyan, he was describing at the wicked gate what takes place at Christmas in the heart, and therefore he named him Goodwill because of the song of the angels and what is now experienced in the life of God's people in the birth of the Son of God. That is the experience. For the first time in their life, that God is disposed toward me kindly. He is disposed toward me in a favorable way. A wonder. A wonder to their soul when they experience the wrath, the displeasure, the inability to keep his law. As long as they are laboring under that law, they cannot perceive the kindness of God toward them. Why not? Why not, children, young people, why not? You say that people, they are so strict. They are so precise. They do not experience the kindness of God toward them? No. Why not? Because they are not perfect. Ask Luther. Because they are not perfect. And the law of God that requires perfection, and therefore they cannot come at that kindness, that favor of God. But as soon as the child is revealed to their soul, as soon as the child is perceived by an eye of faith, then they perceive the kindness, the favor of God toward them. For the first time, they see something of the friendly face of God. They are the blessed feelings of faith that are experienced in the soul of his people. And that is why we say, young people, that it becomes Christmas. That it becomes Christmas for God's children. And then the Lord, he is revealing him for the first time in their life. And that is necessary. Why? Because otherwise, it remains all in our head. Otherwise, it remains a historical knowledge. We are not moved by it. Neither is our soul saved by it. But when the Lord is instructing in that stable of our heart, in the knowledge of sin, and making his child to be born there, then it becomes so different. And now, what do we know of this? Because, what is it? It is the evidence. It is the evidence of the goodwill of God. Is that not a comfort? Is that not a comfort? Those of you who have to say that you are not a stranger of that first knowledge of the Son of God, in all your impossibility, in all your wretchedness, that the Lord has opened your eye by the eye of faith to look once, to rejoice once, glory to God in the highest, to give you to experience once that blessed peace that passes all understanding, that you must say, no, I am not a stranger of what that is. And to see once that favor, that kind face of God in His only begotten Son. Oh, I've lost it again. I've lost it again. But I remember it. It was so sweet to my soul. It was the 10th hour. What is it? It is evidence. It is evidence of goodwill. The goodwill of God. From all eternity toward your soul. Or was it not a blessed song that those angels did sing? The Lord, He gives light. When that child is born, the shepherds, they had light children all around them. If those angels came to you, then you would be so afraid. They were so afraid. We cannot stand before Him, but then that message of that child, and so that people, all they see by the light of the Spirit into that blessed Word of God. Paul sat 3 days in darkness, and then the Lord revealed His Son in him. Oh, he had heard of Him before, but he had no need of Him before. He despised Him before when he was working and working and working and working. But when the Lord brought all His work to the end and revealed His Son in him, oh, then he may see how that God can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. It is a people. Oh, the love for that mediator, in distinction with the love of God, the love for that mediator, born in their heart, never, never to perish. They may say with Peter one day, out of fear, in the weakness of faith, they may curse, they may swear, I do not know the man. But that love remains. The goodwill of God from all eternity. The evidences, they are there, and it can never, never disappear. Oh, that tide may go out. It may go out again. But it will come in again by moments. And one day it'll never go out again. But it will be a river. A river to swim in. A river who whose streams they make glad the city of God. O congregation, Christmas, Christmas. Boys and girls, young people, Christmas. It is such a blessed day. A blessed day. It is a day of joy. It is a day of gladness. Oh, if the Lord will give it in your heart, you will rejoice. Your heart will rejoice. And then you will begin to fulfill again to a much higher degree, even than when you were created. That purpose, that eternal purpose for which that you were created, but now also for which that church is redeemed out of that pit, out of that miry clay, so that their song, as Boston says, shall be a pitch higher than the song of the angels. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant unto us to see the stable of our heart. Oh, that thou may come, Lord, and wilt thou be born within. Open unto us the blessedness, the preciousness, the suitability of thy only, thy dearly beloved Son. Oh, bless thy word. Be thou the after speaker. Receive our thanks for all thy help, and give thy word place in the heart of both young and old. Receive thou all the honor and all the glory. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive all of our many sins. Keep us in a temporal life. Keep us also, that we may live a new life for Jesus' sake. Amen. To 320, all the stanzas. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. All the stanzas of Psalter 320.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.